Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph introduces us to Machlokas Abayin Rav regarding Yeyush Shlomi Das. The Gemara tells us, according to Abayin lo Habi Yeyush, according to Rav Habi Yeyush, and the Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph Mudbeis limits the scope of the Machlokas. The Gemara tells us the following: if you're talking about the Davar Sheyesh Bo Simen, and therefore clearly the object which is lost can be identified, so then the Gemara says that Kuli Yom lo Habi Yeyush, that no one would argue that Yeyush Shlomi Das Habi Yeyush. And the Gemara tells us even a step further that afilu basof nisyayish. And even if after the Aved is found there's explicit Yeyush, not only Yeyush Shlomi Das, some type of presumption, but even if there's explicit Yeyush, even then, chayiv lahafsir. Why exactly is that true? Somewhat stunning. The Gemara uses the phrase of isuruhu, the asli yadeh. That's comparable to receiving the chayfetz be'isr. The person simply is a meshiv aveda, but he's suri asa liyadei in the sense that regardless of the reaction, the bala chayfetz, clearly there is a chovas hashava. We again are familiar with the phrase of isur asa liyadei based on that sukkim bavakamandav samachvav and aleph. That's where the Gemara tells us that maybe one could distinguish between cases of aveda as opposed to cases of gzela. In Gzela, a person illicitly sees the chayfetz isuras liyadeh. Mashen came when it comes to cases of aveda in and of itself. Here, the Gemara means this very simply, that since it's already la'achar das liyadeh, then there's no longer a possibility of allowing the motzi aveda to retain the chayfetz. Retention of the chayfetz would be illicit. And why exactly is that true? So we saw a machlokis between Tosus and the Ramban. Tosus writes in that very sugya, Baba Kamadav Samachvav Maral, Termaskal Hachanami, that Kvar Nischayiv Bahashava. If I go ahead and I am Machzik the Chayfetz, Kodim Yeyush, already the Dindar Isa kicks in, the Chiyuvav Hashava, Hashav Teshivain. And if that is true, so therefore, irrespective of any Yeyush, I can no longer retain the Chayfetz. And that's the Suras the Yadi of our Gemara, it would be illicit for me to go ahead and to maintain. And Tosus says a step further, that was the Chiddush al Gabi Chiddush, that even though this is true, that the Chovas Hashava is not Paka, but yes, it's fundamentally altered, Tosus suggests, the possibility that Kodim Yeyush, Hachzaras HaBe'en is necessary. La'achar Yeyush, even in a case of Aveda, Tosus suggests that Ki'im Damim, you're chayiv to go ahead and to pay. In what sense would that be true? If the Yeyush is Chal, why should you have the Chiyuv Damim? And if Yeyush is not chal, why is there hachzaras habe'en? So we saw there are two possibilities as well. Vekzos and Shinun Gimel, that Yeyush would function as a kinyan lachatzayin, not to uproot the chiyuv damim, but to uproot the hachzaras habe'en, and that chiddush of the stipler in Simin Chafei, that know that the chiyuv is b'toras shmira. After all, a Shomer Aveda is dino either kishomer chinam or kishomer sachar, and will be an outright pshia for me to go ahead and to have in mind to retain that particular chayfetz. And we saw the Ramban, Daf Yudalma Beis, and Daf Yarif. The Ramban approaches this with the following lundus, that if there is no Yeyush, and I go ahead and I take hold of that chayfetz, already there's a chiyuv shmira. And the chiddush that the Shomer is machzik ba'ad habalim. If the Shomer is machzik bad habalim, that means that the chayfetz is already considered to be birshus balim harishonim. And yeyush birshuso lo mahani. That was the lumdus of the Ramban that we discussed at great length. So our Gemara says that, look, that if in fact that I seize the chayfetz, I find the chayfetz prior to yeyush, so even explicit Yeyush is not going to allow me to keep the chayfetz, and certainly there'll be no machlokas abayin rav in a case of Yeyush Shlomi Das, hachzaras chayfetz is clearly required. Meidach, the Gemara says, the opposite scenario. Let's assume it's a case of Zutol Shoyam. In that instance, that's where the Gemara uses that phrase, Rachmanashaye. That's not going to be dependent on a machlokas between abayin rava. In that particular case where it's avud mikol ha'olam, so therefore, no one is going to say you're obligated. Even Abayi would maintain that Yeyush Shlomi Das lo havi Yeyush, even if you're unaware. But we can label this as that avud mimenu umikol adam, In such a case, then, Rachmana Sharyeh. To lose the language of Shitu Mekubet says that Avud Mikol Olam is Hefker Gamur. And it's not only a case of Yeush Shalomidas, but even if Amad Vitzavach, even if a person screams that he does not give up any hope of retrieval, if it's something objectively, that is Avud Rimenu, whom we call HaAdam, that's that powerful phrase of the Gemara that Rachmanashayi. And as he pointed out, the Nesivis, Rei Samach Beis, one could debate when exactly is Yeush Chal. But in the case of Avuda Mikol Adam, Bailus is Paka Miyad. You're not Bala Chefetz, and something that is beyond your reach. So there is no machlokas Abayin Rava in the two extremes of Avuda Mikol Olam, or in a case of Kfar Asliyade. What exactly then is the machlokas that Kipligi Bidavar She'ein Bo Simen? Ein Bo Simen. It's something that cannot be identified, but you know what? That lo no de labailim, but the Bailim Harishonim are unaware, she'ovad mimenu. They don't realize what they're missing. They don't realize what they lost. That's a life's problem, no? People don't realize that what they're lacking. He doesn't even realize that he doesn't have this chayfetz, and then there is no sin. There is no sin. So Bailim says the chiddush that nonetheless, there is an active yeush. Realize the chiddush of Bailim, no? There is no sin. So if there is no simen, no, we know from the Mishnah that there's no chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda. There's no chiyuv of Hashavas Aveda. I go ahead and I take hold of a chayfetz where there are no simonim whatsoever. Even if I would like to return it to its rightful owner, there's no way that that is going to happen. There's no way of identifying the chayfetz uniquely. So therefore, it's a davar shein bo simen. There is no chovas Hashava. But nonetheless, who says that you have a right to go ahead and to take it? Admittedly, the chayfetz is not considered to be yours. And therefore, one would not be allowed to take that chayfetz, even though, once you do so, there isn't going to be a chovas hashava. Because the bailus is not paka, simply because it was yeyush shalomidas. And therefore, there's no heter zechiyah. Apparently, Abaye requires active, yeyush bepoel, not merely somehow that had the Bailim Harishonim known, they obviously indeed would have been miyayish. And Rava disagrees that no, you don't need in any shape or form that active sense of yeyush if it is clear to us, that there's a chisaron yediyah. But had the Bailim Harishonim been aware, they certainly would be miyayish. You don't require that in practice there was yeyush, but in principle, yeyush bekoach, in the sense that I know under these conditions that yeyush indeed would occur. How do I know? There's no simen, and there's no chovas hashava. So therefore, rightfully, I can go ahead and take hold of that particular chayfetz. So maybe one could argue as follows, you know, that this is an important hagdara. The Torah speaks about yeyush, that's clear. We discussed the various makaros of yeyush. To what extent can we presume yeyush? Or to what extent is yeyush actively, bepoel, necessary in order to go ahead and to uproot bailus? We'll have to see what that machlokis indeed is. One thing, however, is clear. That if this is how one is going to be magda the machlokis, that, you know, what is the hagdara sa yeyush? Does yeyush mean yeyush bepoel? Does yeyush mean yeyush bekoach, in the sense that the circumstances are, and maybe to use the terminology that we discussed previously, that maybe yeyush is not an active hakna, but yeyush is a condition, it's a condition, it's a matzav, it's a metzius, that nitu kabailus, that I'm no longer connected to this particular chayfetz, because I lost it, it's ein abrishusi. And there's no possibility of retrieval because it's ein bo simen. So therefore, when you put those two factors together, that I don't have it, and there's no possibility of somehow securing that chayfetz once again, maybe one could argue that, you know what, that reality means that bailus is paka. That reality means that there is no zika between the bailim harishonim and the particular chayfetz. In which case, it makes perfect sense, perhaps, to argue, according to Rava, that yeyush shalomidas is sufficient. Because we're not dealing with a hakna, a das makne. We're simply dealing with a very fundamental question, that what is it that connects you to that particular chefetz? And if the answer is nothing, it's not something that I possess, and it's not something that I hope of retrieving, in such an instance, can I really argue, but yes, there's a chisaron in das. Maybe they're coming from very different directions. You don't need das in order to continue to secure. Now, the fact that there is no longer any zika, therefore me'elav, it's considered to be that which is baka. What's striking about the shakavatari of the sugya, as the Gemara continues, is that the Gemara assumes that this machlokas abayin rava is not just simply within the details of Yeyush, but this is global. This is global. No? This is going to apply to Kala Torah Kula. And therefore, the Gemara is going to weigh in on this machlokas abayin rava, citing everything under the sun. No? Apparently, it's part of a broader machlokas that when the Torah requires das, or whether the Torah requires ratzon, or the Torah requires nichusa, we're going to have to define. No, so does that mean b'koach or b'poel? Whenever the Torah requires some measure of, I have to weigh in on this. What exactly does that mean? That in practice, I have to express, or in principle. And that now is how the Gemara frames the machlokas between Abayi and Rava. And that should be relevant to cases of das, or ratzon, or nichusa, b'chol Torah kula. Because just like Yeyush is a mindset, so therefore, this should be relevant to other cases where the Torah clearly weighs in on a particular mindset of that individual. So it doesn't have to be magdir, like open-ended, every case. So, of course, you have to start with the Gemara. No? So what does the Gemara say? What does the Gemara say about this? So when you look in the Sugya of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, the Gemara weighs in when it comes to a case of Hafrashas Truma al Yedei Achim. Well, this machlokas is going to be relevant to a case of Truma. Meaning what? The Gemara quotes a brayse that tells us the following. That Ketzad Amar HaTorim Shalom Midas Trumasim Truma. When do we assume that if a person is Mafresh Truma from that which belongs to someone else, and he does so without full Das Bailim, nonetheless, the Hafrash is considered to be Icham. So the Gemara explains. You have an individual. Yor l'toch stei chaveira. Now, I go ahead and I enter your field, and I'm torim shelo b'rishus. Wow, I was mafresh shuma without your awareness whatsoever. Look, im choshem yishushum gezel, the Gemara says that was absolutely illicit. There's nothing to talk about. No? Then ein shumas or shuma. But if not, we're not dealing with a case where it's viewed as gezel, then shumas or shuma. So, what exactly does that mean? That if it's Mishum Gezel, of course it's not Truma. But if not, then the Truma is Chal. What exactly is the case? Oh, so I enter your field, and I'm Afresh, and all of a sudden, Ba Balabayu Sumatzao, all of a sudden the owner appears. And the owner makes the following statement, that Kalach Eitzel Yafos. You know what? I revere the coin. And therefore, I want to give Truma the very, very best that I have. And therefore, you know what? Go ahead and give from the best. Is that an assertion or is that a rhetorical statement? An assertion would mean, yes, that the Baal HaBayis is weighing in. I want you to give the coin from the best that I have. Or is he saying somehow cynically, sarcastically, You're coming into my field and you're grabbing my things. Why didn't you grab the best? Why didn't you grab the mamish didis? What are you taking this for? Meaning that you have no right to do anything. Oh, so the Braisa says the following. If that really is an assertion, that you know what, you took for the Kohen this grade, and there's a better grade. And the Baal HaBayis said, you know what, I would have given the best grade. In that case, Truma so Truma. Why? Because that statement of the Baal HaBayis is an indicator that he was okay with this person coming in Mafresh Truma. He tweaked it. He said, you know what? Like next time, take the best things that I have. right? Instead of taking the mediocre tefillah, because I want to give the kohen the best. But that already is an indicator that he was fine with the other individual being mafresh truma, but he was just apprising me, you know, that my practice was even to give better. If there was nothing that's better, well, obviously, then it was a snide remark, it was a sarcastic remark, and therefore, you can't assume that that's true. Whoa. So now the Gemara makes the observation. Be'idne detaram lo haviyada. At the time that that person was actually mafresh, there was no indication of what the mindset of the balabayas was. He showed up afterwards and he weighed in. So even if he weighed in and said, that's okay, but he's saying that now. But the idne detaram lo haviyada, right? But at the time of the afrasha, that was not known. So apparently, what do you see from that? Whoa, we have a right to pull back. We have a right to pull back. L'chi yada d'neichale, as Rashi writes, now that we know he was okay with it, so therefore, amrinan me karinami neichale. So therefore, I can assume that what was true now was true then. What was true now was true then. That's Rava. That's Yehu Shalomidas. That's Yehu Shalomidas. What I know now, that a person is miyayish, I have a right to assume that what is was. And therefore, that's sufficient. That's pretty unbelievable. No? So I'm going to take Rava's position of Yeyush Lomidas Av Yeyush and apply that to Afrashas, Chumas, and Maestras. And therefore, whatever, the das that is needed for Afrasha can be supplied, apparently, even retroactively. Because as Rashi writes, that the chiyada da nechale. So therefore, we have a right to assume that me karanami nechale. That's like Rav, that's against Abai. Apparently, Abai does not allow for this in any shape or form. Whoa. So, what, a rejection of Abai? Ooh, so the Gemara answers, I have to see how to understand this. No? Tir Gemarava, Alimad Abai, a Rav himself argues that. No, there's an easy way Abai can understand this. Deshavi Shliach. We're not talking about someone who comes out of the blue and is Torim Shlomidas Balabais. We're talking about a case where he was empowered. Where he was empowered to do so. He was empowered Lechachila to do so. He was a Shliach. Now the only question now is the detail. Good, I empower him as a Shliach, but he has a right of discretion whether to take Truma from here or Truma from there. Oh, so for that discretion. Okay, so now let's read into what the Baal HaSvayah said when he said, Klach Eitzel Yafos. Oh, okay. The Gemara says like, Pocha Mayaskin and Shav Yishaliyah. When you get to that line in the Gemara, it sounds that what? You know, you have no choice but according to Abaye to fill in the gaps. You're forced to assume, according to Abaye, that we're talking about a case of shlichus. Poshup Shan Gamarawa, that according to Rav, you don't have to come on to that at all. According to Rav, that Yeyush Lamidas Avi Yeyush, and unbelievable, that's not only applicable to Yeyush, that's applicable to Afresh Shumas Naisros. But what in the world are you going to do according to Abaye, who doesn't allow for this? So you have to answer like an Ukimta. Hocha Mayaskinan. Okay, this is what we're talking about. Okay. It sounds like, right? Hocha Mayaskinan. What about the next line of the Gemara, though? And here they're different gersels. Take a look here. Take a look at the Hagos Sagra. Here they're different gersels. No? What do we have in the Gemara? Hochenami Mistabra. What is that? No, you have to say this. This is not dachuk. That according to Abaye, you have to give an ukim to the case of shlichus in order to avoid yeush lamidas lahaviyeush. Hachinam mistabra, you have to assume that's true. Why? Because the verse is black and white. Because if this would not be shlichus, of course it wouldn't work. Because after all, disal kadaif l'shavi shliach, mi havi trumaso truma. After all, va'atem Gama tem amarafmana, l'rabba shluchachem. Because hafrashas chum requires shlichus. Forget about Abayin Rava. Hafrashas chum requires shlichus. No? Kain tarimu gam atem. And a furthermore, no, that just like now, ma'atem ledatchem, af shluchachem ledatchem. Whoa. So the case is talking about the shavi shliach, the satni shliach. Wow. So that's kind of pretty important, no? The Gemara suggests what's true of Yesh should be true of Hefeshah, Shumas, and Maestras. So the Gemara says, according to Bayi, after some, no, this is different, this was Shlichus. And then the Gemara says, our gears at least, the Achina Mistavra, everybody has to agree to this. Because after all, that, Hafresh Hashem requires Shlichus. Requires absolute Shlichus. Okay. So, what about the Maskana? What about the Maskana now? So, perhaps one could argue, no, the Maskana, Hafresh Hashem Mistavra has nothing at all to do. Nothing at all to do with Yehu Shlomidas. Hafrash Hashem HaSarayis requires Shlichus. And that must have been the case. And which it's not related at all to Machlokas between Abai and Rav in any shape or form. Well, we'll have to see. Is that really true? Is that really true? See, because the Gemara is making an incredible, incredible jump. Because, let's say Poshav Shem. Yehu Shlomidas, I understand. Because Yehu Shlomidas, certainly we explained it in earlier shiurim, is a recognition of a condition, no? It's a matzav, it's a metzius, where nitu kabailus, that's what Shumas and Maestros is. Achalos hafrasha, achalos hafrasha. Can one really invoke Yehu Shlomidas when a person is called upon to create a chalos? Is that really true? That's like unbelievable. When it becomes clear later that I would have desired that this should be true, we can assume that mafreya, that indeed was the case. Is that really true? At least in Havamina, the Gemara seems to assume, look, what's true of Yehosh is true of Chumas and Maestros. So Rava, who assumes that Yeyush Shlomidas lo havi Yeyush, according to Rava, I'll tell you a corollary. Shlichus Shlomidas havi Shlichus. That sounds stunning, no? Shlichus Shlomidas havi Shlichus. I don't even know that you are operating the capacity of my Shliach. But you know what? If when I find out about this, I'm okay with it, you know, I all of a sudden tap you on the shoulder and say, you know, I married you yesterday to this woman, you know, as your shliach. And you respond and say, that's great. Yeah, so there's kedushin. There's kedushin. Because shlichus shlomidas, really, havi shlichus. Havi shlichus. Is that so obvious that it's true? You know who says that according to Rav, shlichus shlomidas, havi shlichus? Ktzos writes this, no? The Ktzos and Simon Kufay, Siv Katan Aleph, that according to Rava, Yeyush Shlomidas, Havi Yeyush, and Shlichus Shlomidas, Havi Shlichus. Wow. Shlichus Shlomidas, Havi Shlichus. That's like pretty stunning. And you know what the Ktzos quotes? The Ktzos quotes who? The Tosus and Ksuvus Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We discussed it at length. Zach and Ladam Shlobafanov. Zach and Ladam Shlobafanov. What in the world does that mean? I can go ahead and perform a Gerus and a Ger Katan because Zach and Ladam Shlobafanov. How exactly does that work? What do Tosus say? Ksuvus Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph? Because Anan Sade. Anan Sade, that we know, this is mamish eschus. What did Tosos say? Eschus gamur. So we know that the katan would sign on to this, and therefore we can do so in that capacity. So you know what the Tosos writes? That line of Tosos, you ready for this? The Tosos writes, Kufay Aleph, that line of Tosos should be dependent on whether Yesh Lomidas Avi Yesh or Le Yesh Lomidas Avi Yesh. According to Rav, yes, but not according to Abayin. Well, and that's how, what's true of Yeush is true of Shlichus. And the Ketos writes, where do you see this? From the Gemara, Daf Chaf Beis Amud Aleph. Because when the Gemara is discussing this Machlokas, Legabi Yeush, the Gemara says that this is relevant for Rav Joshua Shumas and Isaiah's. But you know what's unbelievable about that line of the Ketos? Yeah, but read on. What does the Gemara now say when the Gemara continues, Hachinai Mistabra? Maybe Pashup Shad, you know what the Gemara means? Absolutely not. This has nothing to do with Abayin Rava. Because Hafrashas, Shumas, and Raisas requires Shlichus. And if there's no Minui Shlichus, there's nothing. There's nothing to speak of. And therefore, this has nothing to do with Yehu Shlomidas Havi Yehu Shana. Shlichus Shlomidas, absolutely lo Havi Shlichus. Nothing to talk about. Oh, so we'll have to see, no? What's the Shak of Vitaria? Simply the Pirush HaMilim of the Gemara. It's clear the Gemara suggests as a Havamina that Truma should be dependent on, but the Gemara says Tirgama, and then the Gemara adds Hachinami Mistabra. So Me'achinami Mistabra is telling you that no, so why not? Why, if you hold Yeyush Shlomidas Havi Yeyush, why not argue that Shlichus Shlomidas Havi Shlichus? All right, we'll have to talk about it. But it's pretty fascinating that at least in Havamina, we can talk about the Maskana. The Gemara is comfortable equating Yeyush with the case of Shlichus. Oh, and then the Gemara mentions another case as well. No? Toshma. The Gemara says, Odeyu Hatal Aleihin. Odeyu Hatal Aleihin. Oh, Parsha Shmini. Vayikra Perakirala, Kosuk Lamadali. You need Hechsher Mashkin, Leperos, in order for the pre to be Mekabel Tuma. Right? Some type of Hechsher is necessary. What exactly does that mean? That it has to come in contact with some liquid. No, that's the Mishnah Machshirin, right? Perikvav Mishnah Dalit. The various liquids that are Machshir, for the purpose of Kabbalah's Tuma. So what happens is as follows. There is, I go ahead and I take these Peros. They're no longer Mechuber, they're Sever, they're Talush. And I go ahead and I mala Peros of Lagag. Right? I put it on my roof. And guess what? V'yorad aleihen hatal. And all of a sudden, they naturally become moist. Ooh, so the Gemara says the following. Hare ze b'chiyuta. That clearly is part of the das violin. That is something that the Baal desired. And therefore, that contact with the mashke makes something fit, susceptible for Kabbalah's tumah. Oh, the Gemara continues. What happens in the following? Nagv. All of a sudden, right, that moisture evaporates. The pre is absolutely dry. And now, after already it dried, the Balabayis sees, and guess what? Bisamach. And he's happy with that. He's happy that there was contact with Mayim, even though now it is all dried off. That's what the Gemara tells us, that Einan b'chiyutan, that is not Machsha the Kabbal Tuma. So the Gemara raises this as a kasha. Wait a second. Now that we know that the Bala Peros was pleased with, can't I argue that Meikara Naminichale? He became pleased now. No. Now we know, and why not go ahead and kick back? The answer is apparently, you cannot. You cannot go ahead and assume that das or ratzon or nichusa that is true now was true then. Whoa, so that's a bayi, the Gemara says. That yeush lomidas lo havi yeush. The Gemara answers, no, maybe that's different. Maybe Hechsher Mashkin Leperos is very different, Because, you know what the Pasuk says? V'chi yutan mayim al zera. But the word yutan is ritnechasim. And this is an important yisod. Tosfos writes, the beginning of Maseches Sanhedrin, whenever you have such a case that a word is written one way and it's written another way, you know what the default position is, the starting point? Is both. Very mistaber, no? Both must be absolutely relevant. Both must be absolutely relevant. Why in the world is it written chas and why is it pronounced amale? You know what the answer is? Because midaraisa, both are necessary. The Gemara has all sugyas and erndafe, yeshem lemikra, yeshem lemasaras. Do you follow the way it's written? Do you follow the way that it's read? Tosfos writes, that's only if there's no resolution between the kri and the ksiv. But the default position is, why in the world do you think it's read this way, if it's written this way? You know what the answer is? To tell you a stunning din daraisa. If lechem oni is written chaser, there are two dinim. Matzah must be a lechem oni, and matzah must also be lechem oni. And here, if yutan is written without a vav, therefore this is telling you something about heksha lekabel tuma. And that is that yutan dum yediyitain. What does yitain mean? Binyan kal? It means I consciously saw to it that the peros came in contact with the mashkim, the ramashkim v'chabotuma. So therefore, even if it's something that was not conscious, you require nichusa, yutam dumidite, meaning ladas. And therefore, that drasha is even true according to Rava. And what does that mean, that yutam dumidite? Rashi just adds, no, sheyoda Benesina. At the time of the Nesinas Mayim, not after the fact. So here again. That, again, the Gemara assumes, Chiddush, that what is true of Yeyush is true of Hechsher Mashkin. And therefore, according to Abayi, we're great, because there you require Nichusa Bishas Nesina. Why do you need that according to Rava? We're going to have to argue according to Rava, you know, this is exceptional. That's part of the drasha of Yutan Dumya Deitain. Wow. That's a very, very important chiddush. It's important to assess why that's necessary. Why is Hesher Mashke needed? Why exactly is that true? Because what will become clear is there are going to be certain cases where this is not a machlokas, a bain rava, that everyone would agree that active das is needed. But why is it that das is necessary when it comes to hechsher mayim? Why exactly is that true? Why do you need b'chiyutei mayim al zera? We just pointed out not long ago at all, no? Pretty fundamental machlokas. Right, Rashi, the Ramban. Why exactly is that needed? Now, this is again in Parsha Shmini, Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph. There is a Gemara in Chulin, Kuf Yud Ches Siman Aleph, where the Gemara just makes an analogy, that the Gemara says, Am Rav Huna, Breid Rav Yeshua, Peiros, Sholo Huchshiru. If you have a pre that as of yet was not mukhshir lekabel tuma, kitanor shelo nigra malachto dami. It's like a kli that is incomplete. It's like a tanor, but the tanor was not finished. Peiros shelo mukhshiru is like a kli shelo nigra malachto. So what's pashur shan the Gemara? It doesn't just simply mean just like here it's not roi lekabel tuma, there it's not roi lekabel tuma. But Rashi points out it means something tighter, much, much tighter. What exactly does that mean? That the reason that Hechsher is necessary is because that is the definition of Gemar Pri. Just like a Kli is only Mekabel Tuma, when it's a Gemar Kli, a Pri is only Mekabel Tuma when you reach Gemar Pri. And that's what Rashi adds there in Vayikra. In Perek Yidal of Pasuk Lamaches, Rashi adds the following. Va'af misha nagav. And even if the pre is completely dry, it came in contact, but it's dry. It doesn't matter. Why? Because Rashi writes, Lo hikpida ha-Torah ella liyos alav shem ochel. Shem ochel. The reason that heksher is necessary is that is called gemar pri. Now it's called ochel. Now it's susceptible to tumas ochlin. And until then, it was not. What exactly does that mean? Take a look in the Sefer Achim. Mitzvah Kusamach. He just writes it out at length, at length, at length. No? Because, after all, something is only called ochel. Ochel. When? Kishiyavo lav mayim. Why exactly is that true? Because lefi shederech bnei adam, that when they have peros, they have yirakos, lahadichan meyafar, terem shochlu, because you don't eat a dirty pre, no? You don't go ahead and just dig up something from the ground and bite into it. It is only practically, royal achila, once it is washed. And therefore, if I ask you, when do you have a shem pri, a shem ochel, or gemar pri, it's not only dependent on its growth, it's not only dependent on the fact that it's talosh as opposed to mechubar, but it's dependent on hechsher tuma, mashkin, mashkin. And therefore, obviously, as Rashi points out, once it's dry, well, of course, once it's dry, it reached the state of gemar pri, right? You wash it, you dry it, and you eat it. But you would think that now that it's dry, it's no longer roi l'kavol tuma. The reason that you need contact with mashkim is in order to label it as a gemar pri, as a gemar pri. And this, I will tell you, is so different from the Ramban. The Ramban there in Parsha Shmini and Yud Aleph Pasuk Ches, that writes a completely different reason entirely. Tam ha-hechsha, the Ramban writes, why is this necessary? After all, because ki lichluch ha-sheretz ha-metamim, because the source of the tuma that is going to transfer from A to B, yidbak b'machalim b'leichus. The tuma is only transferred with a liquid medium. Just because A possesses a characteristic, what is it that transfers it to B? No. You need some kind of conduct. Just like certain diseases, no? Will only transfer from person A to person B when there's like a, you know, a leichus, a liquid medium, something that will transfer. That's the chiddush. The Ramban writes, you need a conductor of the tuma. And mashkim serves as a conductor. Without it, how in the world does the tuma jump from A to B? And what Rashi writes is so obvious, that, well, obviously, if something is dry, it's still roi l'kavol tuma, Ramban is bothered by. Yeah, that fits in beautifully, no? Because if it's a question of gemar, well, of course, no? But if it's a question of the lechus that conducts, so you have to explain why this should be true. So you know what the Ramban writes? Asa ha-Torah har-chaka yaseira. Asa ha-Torah, in principle, you're right. In principle, you're right that there should be no ability for tuma to jump from A to B once something has been dried off. But you know what? That asa ha-Torah har-chaka yaseira. Har-chaka yaseira. No? Because otherwise, nitan v'ner l'shiurim. Whoa. It sounds like a low plug. No? Like a low plug. You know that famous, often quote, no? Yosef Engel. Lekav tov simen ches. About a siyog daraisa. So in the Kuntres Achron, the Lecha Tov, he quotes this Ramban. No? Because it's not identical. It's not only a siyog daraisa, but it's like a low plug daraisa. In Lamdus, you're right. In Lamdus, you're right. Why in the world is that true? Oh, the answer is you're right. It's like something which is a low plug. Two very fundamentally different ways of understanding. Hechshamashkin. But one of the requirements is nichusa. You know, maybe I would argue again, not so muchach. But you understand nichusa, according to Rashi, it's simple, no? According to Rashi, it's simple. In the sense that, what determines Gemara Kli? What determines Gemara Pri? You know what the answer is? Das Bailim. Das Bailim. Right? You're going out with someone. I don't know if it's in vogue. No? You make pottery. No? Whatever reason. No? A chok. And it's okay. And you make pottery. No? So you're finished. You make it until it looks like a Kli. She's finished. She's not finished, no. She has to make design and a spout and a this and that. You're finished. It's like, you know, so yours will be Makabal Tuma and hers will not be Makabal Tuma because the Das Bayim is going to determine, right, whether or not this is Gemar Kli, Gemar Kli. So, you know, it makes full sense that should be true of a Gemar Pri as well. In other words, the Nichus of the Bayim is going to make that determination. So nichus is necessary. But here I would tell you, you know, I would argue maybe that's different. Nichusa for Hechsher, as opposed to, let's say, Das Kedushin, Das Makne. You know, maybe whether it reaches the state of Gemar Clear, Gemar Free, it is like a reality. A reality. As opposed to, you know, the infusion of das. Gittin requires das. Kedushin requires das. Kinyanin requires active das. Das. Is it obvious that the same hagdar is true of Hechsher Pri? Hechsher Pri is like a kinyan, a chalos. Maybe it just simply means the following, that, you know, the Torah declares, that's just like Rashi, Poshav Shem, no? The Torah declares that something is only right when you reach a certain stage. So you know what? Can one argue when it becomes clear that, yeah, that this is how the person intended to use the Kli? That it already reached the status of Gemar Pri or Gemar Kli earlier. Maybe they would argue it is similar to Yeush. That maybe Heksher is like a condition. It's a matzav. It's a metzius. Did it reach the step of Gemar Kri or Gemar Pri? In which case, maybe I could argue, you know what, that, yeah, maybe that should be dependent on Abai and Rav of Yeush, Shlomidas, Havi Yeush, or Lo Havi Yeush. And here all of a sudden the Gemara answers that no, there's a pasuk that really indicates that even Rav would agree. No presumptions, no assumptions, but like active das is necessary, and even Rava would agree that nichus is considered to be, right, that which is absolutely critical. So that's an important chiddush as well. Okay. Now, when you read the Gemara further, and maybe this also is not so clear, the Gemara introduces the machlokas Abai and Rava, not just the cases of Truma or Heksha. The Gemara seems to introduce this machlokes when it comes to Bailus, Kinyanim, Matana. That seems to be unbelievable. That Yeush Shalomi Das should be relevant to Das Makne, to Kinyanim. Yeah, but is that so black and white in the Gemara? That really is true. So I'll tell you, even that's not so obvious. Right? But the details of the case. Now, the Gemara describes that Amemar, Mazut, Ravashi, right? They found themselves in the pardes, in the orchard of Mari Barisak. And the shearcropper came, and he provided them with Tamarim, with Rimonim, Shoda Kamayu. The Gemara says, Amei Rav Ashi were okay with that. And they ate. And Marzutra refused to eat. Well, all of a sudden, that the Balabayas came, and he said, like similar to the Truma case, Klachetza Yafos, no? Amai lo asis lehu, Me'anach Shapirta, no? You should have given him the absolute best. Why did you give him this? And the Gemara says, stunning. Still Marzutra didn't eat. even though presumably that already at that time it was clear that the Balabayas was willing. So the Gemara explains, no, Marzutcher wasn't sure. He wasn't sure. When it comes to Truma, Klachetz Yafos, I understand, because that's a mitzvah, and that's Nechale. Now, you're supposed to give the Kohen a Matana Chashuva. So therefore, maybe that's reasonable to say Klachetz Yafos. At this point in time, when the worker already gave the peros and realized Amemar Ravashi already ate, what do you expect the Balabayas to say? What do you expect him to say at this point in time? So maybe what he said was not sincere, but Mishum Kisufuhu da Amar, and therefore Marzutcher was not convinced that there was really a Ratzon or Das Belev Shalem, even though at this point in time that the Balabayas said he should have given him something that is even greater. Okay, that's it. So Tosis Dir Maskam Razutra. What's the question here exactly? What really is the question here? So Tosis writes the following. You know what Aliba Demis, the question really is? When a sharecropper offers you something, do you have a right to assume Mi Denafshe Kazavim? Look, a sharecropper's entitled. Entitled. So can I simply assume he's entitled to a percentage? So when I go and a sharecropper gives me, do I have a right to assume that he's giving me that which is his? And in fact, Tosus is bothered because this is a sugya in Bava Kama of Kufyotes. So, you know, this should be clear. What's the opposite alternative? No, I could say the following. It was clear that the sharecropper was not giving something he's entitled to. The sharecropper was giving something that belonged to the Balabais. And the question then is the following. No? The question is, so when the Balabais acknowledges that that was okay, do I have a right to argue, well, it's okay now, it was okay then? And if it's okay then, so therefore, Abaye and Amemar and Ravashi had a right to go ahead and eat. Because what's true now was clearly true then. So Tosa says, you can't say that. You can't say that. Why not? So, then it tells unbelievable. No? De'ein lomar, you can't say that there were so mechan, the fact that Mari Bar Issa came and he said that's okay. Why can't you say that? So what does Tosa say? Because da'alacha kabayi. Whoa, those two words are halacha kabayi. What does that mean? That we pass like Abai, the Eish Hamidas Lohavi Eish. So how in the world would Amemar and Ravashi been relying on Rava? Wow. What does that mean? That seems to mean on something unbelievable, no? We want to know whether something was gifted to Amemar, Mazutra, and Ravashi. When the Balabayas finally showed up, he said, I'm good with it. But can I assume that statement now, I'm good with it, is relevant to Shas Nesina? So what does Tosa say? Well, that's going to depend on Yehu Shalomidas. Rava would be good with it, but Abai would not be good with it. So you can't explain that incident in this way, because there's no way in the world that Amemar and Ravashi would have been relying on Rav Ashita when we hold like Abayi, that Yehu Shlomidas lo havi Yehush. But what's clear from Tosus? That according to Rava, that would be fine. The difficulty is halacha kabaye. But according to Rava, that would be fine. That seems to indicate something which is stunning, that the machlokas of Yehu Shlomidas is relevant to Matana it's relevant to kinyanim. That already sounds like such a jump. Such a jump. You mean what? Das makne that I represent now can be assumed l'mafreya? And the only reason to say no is because halacha ka'abaye. Halacha ka'abaye. That sounds like an unbelievable chiddush. That Rav Shita, that Yeyush Lomidas Havi Yeyush means that we can assume that there is Gemiras Das L'mafreya. And therefore that should be relevant to Matana, to Kinyanim. Wow. Is that really true? Is that really true? Or would a person argue? I would have said, L'chor, not that way. Who says das makne? If you need conscious das to create a chalos kinyan, kitten, kedushin, no one's going to say gitin kedushin shalomi das is good enough. But maybe the chiddush indeed is that in some of these cases you don't require absolute das. Maybe Hekshah doesn't require absolute das. Just the Gemara says that yutan dumiditein, nichusa. And maybe that's what the Gemara was assuming when it comes to Truma. What about here? Matana kinyanim? Yeah. To make a kinyan, you don't need das makna. All you need, like, is nichusa. I invite you to come to eat in my home on Shabbos. And all of a sudden, you sit down, you take a bite of the food. No? And I say, ooh, you know, that was an Isser of Mecca Chomemkar, right, B'Shabbos. Kinyanim B'Shabbos. You know, the answer is going to be that I wasn't makna the food to you. But you know what? I don't have to be a deen in the taz, no? Matzaschem. No, it's elachav lachem when it comes to matzah. So maybe it's not enough to have you eat my matzah. I have to be makna the matzahs to you. The chicken has to be yours. The chont has to be yours. A das makne. Doesn't have to be yours in any shape or form. You know, obviously, you cannot run into my house and start illicitly eating everything. You have no rishus. But you know what? If I implicitly grant rishus, there's nothing wrong with your eating that which is mine. No? Maybe the Gemara does not mean in a formal sense, that the aris was makne, all of the peros, and this is supplying das makne l'mafreya. Who says? It's just simply a question of nichusa. Was the balabayis makbid that no one else eat from that which is his? Oh, so you know what the answer is? When we see that he was great with it, he was very gracious with it. So maybe we have a right to assume that reality of nichusa that is true now was true then. But lav dafka and discussing mamish, right? Absolute das, which is the mafreya. In fact, I'll ask you the following, pretty heavy. The cases of Yeyush Lomidas, Havi Yeyush, Lo Havi Yeyush, what exactly is the case? In Yeyush, what exactly is the case? I'll tell you the following. What about this case? No? A person is unaware that he lost the object. He became aware that he lost the object. And the moment he became aware that he lost the object, it was Miayish. So that das that was expressed now, can I assume that it's true? That it's true then? Okay. Or maybe one could argue Absolutely not. You know, that understanding of Yeyush Lamidas is Hochiach Sofa Al Tchilasa. When a person goes to indicate something now, I don't have to assume that he was struggling and he changed his mind. I can assume that what was true now was true then. Maybe it's a very, very different lamdus entirely. It's a very, very different lamdus entirely. No? Maybe it just simply means the following, according to Rava. That, who says we're talking about point B? Point B is when there was absolute yeyush. Active yeyush. Yeyush bapoa. Can I push back the yeyush bapoa? Or maybe one could argue as follows. You know what? Who says you even need that step B? Step B. Who says you need step B? Maybe Rava just assumes the following. No? When you have a circumstance where something is lost and there's no simen, so therefore it's ener b'rishusi, with no hope of retrieval, because ein bo simen, b'ilus hispaka. Even without the guy declaring subsequently, I'm hereby miyayish. Forget about hereby miyayish. The reality of. What's the question though? I didn't realize that reality. Oh, that's a good question. But can I assume the following? Had you known the Metzius? So therefore, obviously, so ilu haya yodeya haya misyayish, that's good enough. That's yeyush. Ilu haya yodeya haya misyayish. The chisaron yediyah is not bikuvah. That's the lamdus of. That's something that's pretty heavy, no? If you take a look at the Ritva Narsugya, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, Der Maskel Kli Plige, and you look at the Ramban, Der Maskel Amai, they seem to understand Yeyush Lamidas in very different... The Ritva's explicit. Afilu lo nisyayish lebasov. Even if the guy was never miyayish, actively, the guy has so much money, he never even realized what was missing. He never even realized it was missing. Happens sometimes in life, no? You don't even realize what you're missing. Not that I didn't realize it then, but I realize it now. You don't even realize what's missing. A guy has 1,000,000 coins. He's never going to know that 5 of them are lost. The Ritva writes, that's Yeyush Shlomidas. Because had he known that it was lost, and had he recognized Lespe Simon, there's no way in the world he would ever hold on to what? There's no possibility of retrieval. What's amazing in the Ritva is the Ritva describes Yeyush Shlomidas without any subsequent yediyah. And you look in the Ramban explains it very differently. The Ramban explains Yeyush Shlomidas as Hochiach Sofa Tchilaso. No, everybody agrees that you need active yeyush. The question is, when you have active yeyush, I have to assume that something all of a sudden turned on its head. I'll assume kipshuta. What we know now was always the case. Isn't that sometimes how chazakas work? No? We know something is true now, and we pull back. We know now that he was miyayish. We don't assume that he had a change of heart. We assume that indeed was always the case. That was always the case. But that's a very different way of understanding the Yeyush Shlomidas. Take a look. I put the Mar Makomos, the Malchokas Rashi and Tosus, Nav Chavav Med Aleph, that maybe this is part of the Malchokas, Rashi and Tosus, in that particular sense. You know, this perhaps gets at the heart of an unbelievable Kashin Shit Mukbetsis of the Ravid, no? But the Ravid doesn't answer it. The Ravid says, you know, you figure it out, no? The Ravid writes that Isn't this machlokas of Bain Rava just the old machlokas of Brera? Of Brera? If you're asking me, can I use the fact set now and apply that to Mafreya? So what, that's something new? Like that's Abayin Rava? Why is that something new, Abayin Rava? This is Mamisha Shasug, you know? In Gittin Daf Chafeim, Bechoros and Daf Nun Beis, and Beitz and Daf Lamed Zayin. Ah, Shasug, whether Yesh Breira or Ein Breira. No? I'm made aware of something now, something is clear. Can you create a Chalos Lamafreya? So that's an unbelievable kash of the Raivin. No? Why in the world isn't this the old question of Breira or Breira? You know, that's pretty heavy. No? And the Raivin answers that, no, you're a PKF. The answer is clear. No, but end. No? So what? Why isn't this Breira? Why exactly isn't this Breira? You know, I'll tell you, this kasha is only a kasha if you're assuming like the Ramban, that the whole yesod of Yesh Lehaviyeyosh is Hochiach Sof Al Tchilasa. That's Breira, no? All right, maybe we'll have to tweak it, because it's not Breira. But it's in the Parsha Breira. Let's say according to the Ritva. The guy never knew that it was lost. He never realized it. But you know what? There's certain conditions in life where I can argue as follows. Now that under this circumstance where you lost something and there's no simin, it's like avud mikol olam. There's no way you're ever going to get it back. Maybe that reality already is nito kabaylus. It's no longer yours. You have no clue where it is. And in the best scenario that someone will find it, there's no possibility of returning it to, there's no simanim. So what does it mean? I'm still holding on to what? Holding on to, so maybe that's like, as we discussed, Isriana, Enoshlena Bishusa, where there's no halacha of Bailus. If that's true, this has nothing to do with Breira. It's not that something became subsequently clear, and I want to push back with Mafreya. It's Bishaita, the Bailus, is considered to be Paka, based on the Matzav, the condition of, just like in a case of Zutoshaya, or just like in a case, right, of Shlusha Sonar, of Avudivinim, Kolada. Right, so this will have to see. No? And then, depending on how you understand, you have to work back now. Like, so what does all this have to do with Hafrashos Trumos Maestros, and Hechsher Kelim, and Matana, and Kinyanim? Right, what exactly does it mean? Does the Gemara really mean to assume that Das can supply retroactively? And that should be true when it comes to Das Hafrasha? And Das when it comes to Hechsher Mashkin? And Das when it comes to Kinyanim? Or does the Gemara mean something else very, very different? No? That's going to be pretty important in terms of how you learn the Hemshech of the Sinyan. So take a look, if you can, at these Makaras. I brought them on Makomas, the Makokas Rashi Tosataf Chavav. Take a look at that. And then take a look at the Ketzos, the Nesivis, now like how this relates to cases that are indeed B'cholot Torah Kulo. Whether the Gemara really means to assume in our sugya that Shlichus min lo midas, havi Shlichus. Is that really true? Or no, Hachina Mistabra means that this has nothing at all to do with our sugya of Yehoshua Midas. Okay, so it's a Shema.